joining me. Thanks for praying with me. I cannot tell you how much I value your prayers. I was driving into the studio a little bit earlier this morning, and on my way in, I saw, really, I didn't witness the accident. I saw the aftermath of it, and I'm not sure anyone survived this particular accident. It did not look good. And I remember years ago when I was in Poland, I was just learning about Divine Mercy, and I was with the vice postulator for the cause of St. Faustina. And we saw a horrible accident. We came upon it. We saw people literally thrown from those tiny cars in Europe and a body with no head. And just, it was a graphic, gruesome scene. Bodies still strapped to their seats. And this is where I learned about the power of this prayer, the Chapel of Divine Mercy for the Sick and Dying. It was there that Father Seraphim said to me, we need to pray right now for those souls. And we prayed the Chapel of Divine Mercy at that particular moment. Every minute, 107 souls are called before God on average here in this country. And we have to pray for God's mercy for them. The Lord promised that he would not come as a just judge, but as a merciful Savior for those whom this prayer is prayed for, and that the hour of their death will be a peaceful one. So this is really a prayer for not just the sick, but also in a particular way for the dying. So as I was praying for that accident on my way into the studio, I remembered you and all of your intentions. And whenever I turn to the Lord, I bring you with me. So please pray for me. And I want to thank you for praying for Father Richard Simon. I've been bringing you this intention just on a daily basis. You know, Father's show broadcast right before mine. And you might have noticed some of the shows maybe weren't live. Father has been out a little bit under the weather, and I've been asking him to pray for his recovery. And I had an opportunity to talk to him last night when I was driving home from the studio. And I've invited him to stop by. He wants to give you an update. I know he wants to thank you for his, for all the prayers. And Father, let me welcome you back. It is so good to have you with me today. Good afternoon.
Oh, true. It's good to be back. Just even this, I wanted to thank people. I just wanted to come in and thank people. You know, all this stuff about Relevant Radio being a family.
Yeah.
It isn't just advertising. I have felt so blessed and so prayed for.
Amen.
Just so people know, it seems to have been a foodborne illness that went into a liver infection.
Ugh.
So I'm not really out of the woods, but I'm home staying with my classmate, Father Branken, who's taken very good care of me. And, you know, with all your prayers and with the wonderful medical care I've received.
I spoke to your producer a little bit earlier today, Nick, and he says, for a man who's never been in a hospital bed, this has been a cross for you. I mean, you had fever for about 9 days. And
oh, more than that. 2 weeks. I had two weeks.
I won't recognize you when I see you next.
Oh, I am. I've lost a couple pounds. God willing, we'll be back soon.
How are you feeling right now, though? I know you're still really weak and really under the weather, but you've gotten a lot of prayer. People really are concerned about you.
Yeah. They had to put a drain in my liver, so I must admit that hurts. And I'm kind of weak. But to me, this has been such a journey. This is Joseph. I've really been dead since the 19th.
Hmm. Father, you're breaking up a little bit. I don't know whether you can hear me. I hope you have. If you move just slightly, that'll be great.
Yeah. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can now. That's great. So pick it back up. You said this has been such a, and then that's where you faded out. I'm assuming a spiritual struggle for you, a journey. Tell me about it.
It's been such a journey. Started on March 19th, the Feast of St. Joseph, who is our friend at Relevant Radio. And it has been a month-long examination of conscience. It's been amazing. I can't explain it. I'm hoping that when, and God willing, if I'm back doing this a week or two and get some strength back, God willing, I can do it as part of the show live. I can't tell you, Drew, what a profound experience this has been about the fatherhood of God. My fatherhood as a priest and my relationship to my own father, may he rest in peace. It's been so. I just wanted to come on and thank people for praying for me, and I have felt it's been very humbling because I felt so loved.
Yeah, well, we love you. We care about you. I'm very concerned about you, because you know how things can turn very, very quickly.
Sure. So I wouldn't say I'm better, but I'm certainly better than I was. And I hope this isn't too much, but I still have to thank my own doctor, Dr. Farrell, who just refused to let me say, oh, I'll just go and recuperate. I'll get better. No, he said, I'm going to get to the bottom of this. And he did. So I'm so grateful to him. He's a wonderful physician. And I know that he and his wife are relevant radio fans. So,
well, I'll share with you a quote from Mother Teresa. It's easy for me to say because I'm healthy and I'm not in your situation. She said that if pain and suffering come into your life, she says, remember that the pain and the suffering are but the kiss of Jesus. They're a sign you've come close to him so that he can kiss you. That's the simplicity of Mother Teresa. You know, when you're carrying your cross, you're like, no kisses, right?
I just really, there have been moments when I really just feel the Lord present and our Blessed Mother. I mean, it's just, you know, we have a great faith. And, you know, it's kind of fun. I preach all these sermons about, you know, when you can do nothing, what can you do but trust God? I should listen to my own sermons, you know that?
Well, I'll tell you what. We're going to pray the chaplet now. I invite you, and I really hope you'll take me up on the offer. Come back. Keep us updated, okay? Because this spiritual family here pray every day for you. We're going to continue to pray for you, not just during the chaplet, but outside during Mass. I prayed for you earlier.
I'm so grateful.
Well, we'll be praying for you. You're going to be back stronger than ever.
This business of a family of relevant radio, it's really true. We're all praying for each other. God bless y'all. I love you. And thanks so much for all your love.
Thanks, Padre.
All right.
God bless you. Prayers are coming your way. That's Father Richard Simon. Please, we'll pray for him now. I'm going to offer my chaplet for him. But remember him in your rosaries and in your time with the Lord and Mass and adoration. And I should get an address for the studio here for the network. And maybe you can send him a card. I don't know. Who knows? Just pray for him. I mean, he'd appreciate that more than anything else. So let's pray right now. If you're on hold, I will do my very best to get you on the air. I want to pray for my brother, Greg, today. I know Maggie's been praying for her brother and for all my siblings. I want to pray for them as well. But let's pray. We'll pray because we are a family, right? Whether we're blood or whether we're united in spirit, well, God chose us all to be here together at this time. So let's pray for one another as we begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
And I believe in God. Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. Let's take our first call this afternoon. I want to welcome Carmel from San Francisco. Hi, Carmel. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Yes, this is Carmel from San Francisco. I want to say I love your show. I listened since November of 2022, and also Patrick Madrid's show. I really enjoy. I'd meant to call in to thank you guys for the great shows, but I'm calling on a sort of a sad note for my dog, Dexter. He got bitten by a pit bull last night in the park, and he's in stable condition. He's 13 years. He's healthy, but, you know, I'm just hoping he will be okay. He's, as I say, stable. I had to take the day off.
It's hard.
Today.
We'll pray for Dexter. Okay, Karma. We'll pray for. I know it's hard, right? I mean, especially because that's, you said the dog's 13 years old now.
Yes, and he means a lot to me. You know, I know they don't live forever, but I don't. You know, he's so healthy, and this pit bull just came out of nowhere in the park and locked his jaws on his neck. So thankfully, you know, he looks like he is recovering a little.
Let's pray for his recovery. Let's do it right now. Let's pray for you. And you know, I know it's so hard. Father Simonetti, who was stopped by the studio last week, I think, lost his pet. His dog recently died. And it's really hard. I say this a lot. We tend to really grow very close to those pets, especially one that's been with you for 13 years. They're companions. They keep you company. They can protect you. And Carmel, I'll pray for you. We'll pray for Dexter for quick healing and recovery. And I do want to pray for anyone who mourns. Anyone who's mourning the loss of their pet, but in a particular way, anyone who's mourning today also the loss of their loved ones. Lord, I ask for peace of the heart. You know, so many people anxious and distressed, weighed down heavily by the circumstances, the sickness, the illness of their loved ones or those they care about. Bring these souls to you today, and I ask you to fortify them as I pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Alma's praying with us in Reston, Virginia, Washington, D.C. area. Hey, Alma.
I wanted to pray for my husband. Because on May the 24th, he is having a specialist look at him, and I pray that he comes out with a clear bill of health, healthy, and he will pass the test.
All right, amen to that.
And for my brother, which at this moment is in a he's in the ICU, and they induced coma, and he is not coming back. And I would like, if God willing, and it's God's will, that he will come out of it.
All right. Well, let's bring it to the divine physician right now, right? The one who has healed throughout scriptures. Many people were drawn to Christ by that ministry of his, and he's just as alive today. So, Lord, I give you Father Richard Simon and his health. I give to you Alma, her brother. We pray for her husband. We pray for all those right now with debilitating and degenerative diseases, with liver problems. Lord, those who are in comas. Lord, those who are in critical condition and certainly need help. I want to pray for James Bosco as well. We're seeing a miracle work out in the process now, I believe. And I want to pray for all those, Lord, who are praying for those miracles in their life. So I turn to you again and pray with trust. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Looking at an email that just came in, this person says, you please pray for Angelina. She's in surgery right now to remove one of her breasts due to cancer. Please keep her in your prayers. I ask for God's mercy and healing. She's a suffering soul all her life. This is another cross that she has yet to carry. Maria, we're going to pray for her for sure. And Maggie, I know your eyes are on a lot of intentions that are coming in. If you want to get your intention to Maggie, Facebook, YouTube, if you're streaming us live, you can also hit her up at formerly Twitter, it's now X, and send her a post at Drew Mariani. What's coming in?
Victoria wrote to us. She said, prayers for my uncle who suffered a massive heart attack 9 days ago. He was found unresponsive and is now in the ICU. He's showing little signs of improvement. Jesus, please restore him to full health. Jesus, we trust in you. Ken sent us a photo of a lovely woman in a hospital bed, and he said, please pray for the soul of this wonderful woman, our sister Cindy, who we lost last night to cancer, and for our strength in dealing with this horrible loss. Amen. Bill wrote to us. He said, please pray for my good friend Deb Price, who's in the hospital with a blockage in her leg. Her leg is swollen. Jesus, we trust in you. Deborah says, could you say a prayer for our family today? We have 3 different meetings and appointments, which are all very important. And please, we are trying to find 2 lost items. Mac wrote to us and said, I want to pray for 80-year-old Larry, who fell in a parking lot yesterday. And we've gotten a lot of tweets here, a lot of posts on X, just since Father Simon came in. People praying for, saying it's so good to hear his voice, and we're praying for you. And lastly, our friend MoFlo on X, she says, continued prayers for Smitty, who had called into the family rosary the other night. She's praying for his broken marriage, and for Paul from Milwaukee, who we don't hear from anymore.
Yeah, he's got vision problems.
Vision problems. Yeah. So we hope he's okay too. She says, I can't pray today at the hour of power because I'll be at a job interview that time.
That's great.
Praying for you, MoFlo.
Let's pray for those who need jobs, right? Those who are underemployed and unemployed and who are struggling financially too. Who's the other one? Is it Tracy or Trixie that writes to us on Twitter? You know,
we've got so many.
Yeah, there's. I'm sorry, I'm zoning out on who it was, but I know she sometimes attends a church that I go to, so... She just came to mind, so I'm praying for you right now. I'll keep your real name private. I know you know who you are. Edward is praying with us in Elk Grove, California. Hey, Edward, good afternoon.
Hey, Drew, how you doing?
I'm okay.
I got 3 praise reports here.
All right, brother, give it to me.
I called a couple of weeks ago, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, and I called for my friend, Joe. Her mom had some kind of crazy cancer in her lungs, and they were pretty much writing her off, and with the prayer, they were able to find a good doctor, and they were able to work everything out where she's going to, you know, come back to total recovery. I also called for my daughter. She goes to the local Catholic school here, and she was struggling, and they sent her to the local, she's at the local Catholic school, and they sent her to the local school to do some assessment on her, and they did all the assessments, and when they were done with it, they said that she just has a few little hiccups they need to work on, and she'll be fine. And then, well, during this time, my uncle was in the hospital, and all his organs were shutting down. And I got on the line the other day, the following day, and they said, hey, you called yesterday. But anyways, he's like, just let me put it down. Well, anyways, the doctors pretty much said he was done for, and he's at home now.
I love it. God has a last word, right? I love it.
So one final thing. Yeah. I was dating this woman for a while, and she was very serious with me, and I just kind of kept putting things off, and I don't know if it was the devil kind of persuade me from falling through with something good. She's a wonderful woman, and now she's gone, and I just want to pray if God's will, she returns, you know, maybe possibly, you know, if we have a chance, but put in God's hands, and that's it, Drew.
Well, that's a hard prayer, and Edward, I'll remember you, a buddy of mine I spoke to. I haven't seen him in years, and we were talking. He says, can you pray for my wife? She wants a divorce. And he shared with me the situation. And CC, I'll just use your initials, brother. I'm keeping you in my prayers. I know we spoke the other day. And I don't want to pray for any broken relationship, any lost love, as we've heard from Edward. Lord, I want to give you thanks. You have the final word when it comes to our health, when it comes to our finances, when it comes to our relationships. I'm so grateful for Ed's answered prayers and the miracles that he's reported. I ask that you shower all those who are now praying with me with answered prayers, with many miracles, many blessings. And I turn to you, invoking your great mercy as I pray, Eternal Father. I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Our next call comes from Montclair, New Jersey. Hi, Diana. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. I would like to pray for my friend Chris, whose marriage is in trouble, and for her mom, whose colon cancer has spread to her liver, lungs, and spleen, her sister, who has pancreatic cancer. I would like to pray for all fractured families, especially my own, with my brother and my friend Suzanne's family. And lastly, I am in serious financial trouble, and I've been praying to God for a very specific miracle, that's it.
I'm going to join you, Diana. I love your spirit, and keep praying with faith, keep praying with trust, and you know God can remedy those finances. I know so often it's hard because the clock is ticking, the finances are mounting, there's no way out, but the Lord took, you know, some barley loaves and fish and fed 5,000. And of course, he can do the same thing with you. He can multiply finances and surprise you. One day I'm going to write a book on how God has worked these type of miracles in my own life. And I'm going to pray for that financial miracle that you need. We want to pray for those with cancer right now and all those intentions that you brought up for your marriage and any broken or troubled marriage. Wherever there's division, Lord, I ask for your healing. I do pray for blessings financially, Lord, on those who really need it. Let your presence be felt visibly. And I just love hearing those miracles reported. So, Heavenly Father, I join Diana in her prayers, and I gather together all who pray with me now as we turn to you again and invoke your great mercy. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole
world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole
world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion. Passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Paul's in Evansville, Indiana. Hi, Paul.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
You got it. Good to have you here.
Yeah. I'd like to pray for my Uncle Chuck Walk, who on Tuesday started having symptoms that they thought were the flu, and it turns out he was having a stroke. So he is now in the hospital, and we are praying for, you know, a complete, miraculous, speedy recovery for him.
All right. We'll lift him up for sure. Pray for your Uncle Paul. Pray for you, too. I know you probably have a lot of personal intentions. Speaking of health, I want to pray for my wife. She's been a little bit under the weather this past week, so not quite sure what it is, but ask you, Lord, to be merciful to my bride. And Jessica is praying with us in Santa Clara. We'll add her to the mix as well. Hi, Jessica.
Hi. Hi, Drew and Maggie. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. Good to have you.
I would like to pray for my daughter, for her speedy recovery. She got into a skiing accident last Sunday on her last day of at the job.
Yeah.
And I'm praying that she find, you know, for her recovery, because she's starting a new summer job on Monday, and she's still on crutches.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that she'll find the orthopedic specialist.
Okay.
And that there's no major broken bones. Also, I pray for her continue to pray for her conversion, and freedom from her substance abuse. Mm. I also pray for myself that my plantar fasciitis will heal in time for me to join the Walk to Mary in 2 weeks.
It's coming up.
And yes, thank you. And I think that's it. Thank you so much.
I know the Lord knows all your intentions. We'll pray for your daughter's recovery. Pray for that very painful plantar fasciitis that you're dealing with. Hope to see you there. Make sure you say hello. I'm going to take the walk as well. So be good to see you. Lord, I give you all, everyone who's on hold, I give you all these intentions that have been voiced, that have been tweeted at us and emailed into us, and the intentions that we all carry in our heart. You know the things we bring to you on a continual basis, Lord. In your mercy, please hear and answer us. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Champion,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Our Lady Reconciler of Peoples and
Nations, pray for us.
Virgin Most Sorrowful,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
Saint Maximilian Kolbe,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sapochko,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Thank you for praying with me. Pray every day at this time. Tell others. Send us those prayer intentions and send me your answered prayers. I know God's at work. You can email me, drew@relevantradio.com. That's drew@relevantradio.com. Mark it answered prayer so it doesn't get lost if I have to search for it again. And I'd love to share all those intentions on the air. I got a question for you when I return. Deals with, well, everything from generosity to the homeless. But I'll get into that right after the short break. So stay with me.
Your daily dose of faith, hope, and charity. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
With flexible premium life insurance by sponsor Catholic Order of Foresters, a 40-year-old can get $1 million coverage for under $19 monthly. Go to relevantradio.com/Forrester. That's relevantradio.com/Forrester. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio, 24/7 on the Relevant Radio archives. Just click on Drew Mariani Show page.
Yeah, well, hey, thanks for joining me. Here's a question for you. Do you give money to the homeless? Or do you walk by? Yeah, I was thinking about this. I saw a piece recently, why you should give money to the homeless people, right? I saw this piece. It made me think. There's two mindsets to this, right? The one mindset is, you know, if I give money to the homeless, Drew, it's just going to go to facilitate and keep them in that lifestyle. You know, these guys are on the street, men and women, they're there because they're doing drugs, right? Or they have some sort of other issue. We're not doing them a favor by giving them any sort of money, right? They misuse the money that you have. They might use it on a harmful substance, maybe hurt themselves, or maybe a non-essential item. And it's just a short-term solution. We need to think bigger picture. That's the mindset of a lot of people. And then others are like, well, you know what? there's something very spiritual about this. You know, that you do bring immediate relief. You do maybe give food to the hungry or drink to the thirsty. You fulfill a corporal work of mercy. You respect the dignity of that human person, even though they might be dirty and unhomed, you know, if you will. Unhoused is a new term, homeless. And when you hand somebody money, I think it's often accompanied by a brief interaction. That personal moment, that moment of personal connection, it can be just as valuable as the financial help you give. The other thing, too, that I always found striking, you never know when you're going to encounter Christ. I had an encounter with a homeless person once that, in retrospect, I thought, man, it could have been an angel. Could have been. But look, I know you might say, hey, and you can feel free to sound off. Feel free to dial in, 888-914-9149. The number of homeless people in our country is growing. We're one of the wealthiest nations in the planet, right? There's an interesting lawsuit that's going to be heard before the Supreme Court next week. In City of Grants Pass versus Johnson, the city of Grants Pass, Oregon, is being sued. They're being sued by a homeless man because the city's outlawed sleeping in public places. So the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals has struck down the ban, you know, basing its ruling on the Eighth Amendment. You know, the prohibition against cruel and unusual punishment. But the law sounds a lot like laws in other cities that ban panhandling in certain areas, and mostly in downtown areas where big business, you know, they have their glass and case buildings. And it does hurt your business. You don't want a homeless encampment outside of your restaurant, do you? I mean, it can be kind of hard to get clients to come in. So you can kind of understand both of these issues. But as you drive around, you see the homeless standing there at traffic lights or the other end of, you know, interstate exits, holding out signs asking for money. What is your reaction? I think you're seeing more of these today. If you're walking around the city, you see somebody sleeping, you know, on a sleeping bag or a backpack with a sign asking for help. And I know that there are even places like Los Angeles and San Francisco where the homeless are just about everywhere. Hollywood isn't, you know, the glamorous place it once was. There are tents lined up and down the streets there now because unless you have a few thousand dollars in cash to give away, you can only help a few people. So it's a big debate, and I want to talk about it today with John Brundage. Feel free to sound off if you want, 888-914-9149. John's actually a seminarian with a community of priests called the Companions of the Cross, originally from Dexter, Michigan. And he's currently serving at Queen of Peace Catholic Church in Houston. So big shout out there for his pastoral internship. But he recently wrote about this, and I'll plug his Substack column. It's called Integrated Prayer. You can check it out there, Substack Integrated Prayer. And this is a big debate. On one hand, you know, you have those who say, got to be prudent. You know, the other one, you got to be generous, right? I go to Scripture. I think of Matthew 5, verse 45, where he says, he makes his sun rise on the evil and the good. He sends a rain on the just and the unjust. Or in Luke, where he says, you know, when you give a banquet, invite the poor and the crippled and the lame and the blind, and you'll be blessed, right? You'll be blessed. Even though they can't repay you, you'll be repaid, you know, by God. John, good to have you with me today. Good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon, Drew. Thank you so much for having me.
And thank you for writing about this. I love the piece. I thought, man, made me think. And I thought, you know, we've got a big family here that tunes in every day, and it's a great topic for us to kind of share our thoughts and our positions on this. You take the position that for the most part, we really probably should be giving money directly to the homeless who ask for it on the street. What led you to that conclusion, and share your thoughts on it? Why?
Yeah, so for all of my life, I've heard this argument that they're probably going to spend it on alcohol. They're probably going to spend it on drugs. And I just really never found it very convincing, because, like, just for all of my life, I've seen it as a very skewed way of looking at the way they spend their money. Because, yes, they probably spend more than they should on alcohol, the ones that do.
Yeah.
But they still have to buy food. They still have to buy socks. They still have to get medicine and everything else in their life. So even if they spend every dime of my money on alcohol, that's $5 that they saved in order to buy food. So that was something that really stuck with me all of my life. But more recently, I had a conversation with my friend Gabriel, and he said that when he's in that position and he's wondering whether or not they're going to waste his generosity or take advantage of it, he said that, I think of all the graces that I've wasted in my life.
Wow.
And that just really struck me, because I think of all, as I write about in the piece, I think of all the times I've gone to confession and confess my sins only to fall into the same sin once again. All the times that I've asked for second chances from people and all the times that I've messed up. And I think my peace can be summarized in the fact that if I hold the homeless to this standard, that measure is going to be measured out to me, and it sets up a standard that I don't want to be held to on the final judgment.
Yeah, I love that. I live by that. Believe it or not, you know, you're going to be judged and you're going to be measured by the cup with which you measure. I really do. I try to be generous at any opportunity, and you never know why. I mean, you never know how God is going to repay your generosity. You don't do it so you get something back. But, you know, we're going to store up our eternal treasure where it matters most. But I'll share with you a real quick story. It was a true story. I was newly married. My wife and I had only been married about a year, and a buddy of mine who came from a really affluent family was getting married. And we were living in Pennsylvania. I had a drive to New York City, where he had this incredible wedding. I mean, there was Rolls Royces parked out front and trumpets. He was in a giant church. And we were a little bit late, so we got in the very back row when we came into this wedding, right? And I remember Mass is going on. It's a beautiful celebration. All of a sudden, some guy rolls into the church. He's a bum. He's homeless, right? Dirty. His clothes were disheveled. He was very reverent, though. And he sat on the far right side of the church. My wife, Kathy, and I were on the left. And I watched him. And throughout Mass, you know, we enjoyed the celebration. And towards the end of Mass, as we were getting up, and I was broke as a joke. I mean, I didn't have a whole lot of money, newly married, you know, starting a new family. Something in my heart said to me, give this man what's in your pocket. And I said to the Lord, I don't want to give him what's in my pocket. I still have the wedding. I got to get home. And I don't know what I had. Maybe I had $100. Maybe I had $50. I don't recall the exact amount right now. But I reached in my pocket after we were one of the last ones to exit the church. And I went up to him. I said, here, I want you to have this. And he just looked at me and he took it with gratitude. And that was it. I thought nothing more of it. So I go home. I had to leave town the following week. I had to go to give a talk the following Monday in Kansas City somewhere. I was asked to come out there. And you know, my wife, I drive her crazy because in my pockets, I always leave tissues. You know, she does the wash. She's like, you got to empty your pockets, right? Because otherwise it gets everywhere. So she does the wash. Next thing you know, she goes down to the dryer and she screams out loud, Drew, come down here. Come down here immediately. Drew. And I think, oh my gosh, what's the matter, right? I race down and she opens the dryer. And this is an absolute true story. Opens the dryer. And again, we were pretty tight on money at the time. That dryer was filled with money. There were $5 bills. There were dollar bills. There was, there's $200 or $300 in there. We have no explanation for where it came from. She always empties my pockets. We didn't have that type of cash coming around. And it was kind of a sign that God gave me that, you know, just as he multiplies loaves and fish, just as he can turn water into wine, as he can take a coin out of a fish's mouth, he can do anything for you. And it was kind of a moment for me to always be generous, because I'm not always going to see, you know, money come back to me like that, but my eternal treasure's there, and God will use that act to bless others. So you never know when you're going to meet an angel, or you might meet Christ himself, and who knows who that was at the time. Is there merit, Father? Or I should say, John, is there merit to not giving? You know, if you think this person is an alcoholic or drug addict, to deprive them of that, or should you give, even though you might be continuing to facilitate their favor? And I think discernment is important in a lot of this stuff.
Yeah, and I think there's a stronger case to be made if you have a stronger relationship with them. Like if you're discerning cutting a check for $1,000, you'll obviously want to be more careful about vetting that money and how they're spending that money. But in terms of like, you know, just a $5 bill, like I just think that's being a little bit too tight about the money. Like, yeah, maybe he'll spend four of those $5 on alcohol, but like that's just $4. That's one beer. It's not going to tip the scale. But that's $1 of food. And like you said, there's also to consider the encounter as well. You're able to break the isolation, break that dehumanization, and to share Christ with them as well. Because they're ignored all day. People, like thousands and thousands of people walk by pretending not to see them, ignoring them, treating them like they're dirt. And for you to be that one person, I think that's worth taking the risk of buying them a little extra beer accidentally.
I like it. Robin's in Woodbridge, California. Robin, good afternoon.
Oh, good afternoon. Thank you so much for taking my call. I wanted to share, I had an experience years ago. I was living in North Highlands, and I had to go to court, and I stopped at a gas station. I had to get gas, and I was on my way, and for some reason, I felt compelled to get $10 out, and so I did get
$10 cash, and we didn't have that much money then. Yeah. But then, and I saw a lady, and I believe it was her son. She had a sign up asking for money. And so I went over to her, and I gave her the $10 that I had gotten from over. And then I went on to my court. And I had asked her, oh, please spend this on your child. But I don't know what she did. But I went to court, and in that court, the judge had lessened the money that I owed by exactly $10.
I love it.
And I saw that as so this is confirmation for me. It is between me and the Lord. Amen. He asked me to, he doesn't ask me to figure out what's going on with someone else. He asked me to do what he asked me to do, and it's up to that mother, that woman to do what God asked her to do. So it's not my responsibility. Yep. It's God's responsibility and her responsibility.
Amen.
So,
Robin, I love
that's
it.
How I thought.
Thank you for calling and sharing that. And John, when we come back, I want to hear, maybe you can share a little bit how God has made himself visible to you through these acts of charity and generosity. A lot of people waiting to join the conversation, too. If you're on hold, I'll do my very best to get you on. Our conversation will continue, but I have to take a very short break. We'll be back. Do not go anywhere. Our conversation continues right after this. Hey, today we'd like to thank Rosario, who's listening in New Mexico, for donating her 2014 Fiat 500. You can join thousands of other listeners in donating old vehicles, trucks, boats, and RVs by visiting relevantradio.com/car. That's relevantradio.com/car.
Indira Gandhi said, you can't shake hands with a clenched fist. It's impossible. We are blessed. The Bible says in Genesis that we might be a blessing. The peace and financial peace actually comes from outrageous generosity. See, what happens is we think of generosity as somehow that was an act. Oh, that person was generous. Look, that was a generous thing they did. Like it's an act. No, generosity is a character quality like integrity or like honesty. It's the way you describe that is a generous person. It is who you are, and it's a series of choices to choose to be that person, just like you choose to be a person of integrity. It's a character quality. It's not just an act of giving away money. A generous person is one who holds the door for you. A generous person is one who doesn't take up the entire conversation talking about them. Generous people, as opposed to selfish people and people that are scroogey, right? They are highly attractive. You want to be around them. Not because they're going to give you stuff, but you just want to be around them. They're just likable people. Proverbs says, a generous person will prosper. It says it in the Bible. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. See, what happens is when I give, when you give, it moves us from selfish down the spectrum to selfless.
It's the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
That's DR, right? Dave Ramsey. He's a man who has seen some success. And I do believe you can't outgive God. You got to be careful with his health and wealth gospel sometimes. But, you know, Christ said in Matthew 25, right, whatever you do for the least of your brothers and sisters, you do for me. And I think he's right. And there's something attractive about generosity. And Dave is so right on a lot of those points. Yeah, sometimes the more you give, the more you get. You may not always see it in a tangible way, but boy, you can never outgive God. The saints knew this, right? St. Martin de Porres, St. Vincent de Paul. Mother Teresa of Calcutta is another example of that. She dealt with the poorest of the poor. She touched the lives of thousands of people. She once said, if you can't feed 100 people, then feed just one. John Brundage joins me today. He wrote a great piece on this, and we were talking during the break. He had a great insight regarding Mother Teresa. And by the way, if you want to check his piece out, you can go to the website, Substack column. It's called Integrated Prayer. John, great to have you with me. You heard Dave Ramsey, and you and I were talking about Mother Teresa. And what an example of heroic generosity.
Yeah. Yeah, she was really amazing. And it's a good counterpoint when someone says, like, oh, well, I give and I don't receive anything in return. Like, sometimes the gifts that we receive aren't immediately obvious. But I will say that it's true. Like, God is not outdone in generosity. It's just not always clear how he's outdone, because we've heard your story and the previous caller. Like, you could fill the whole program with these incredible stories about how Like, we step out on a limb, we give to the homeless, and they're really grateful, and they were really pious in church, and then something, like, some money comes to us, and we're really blessed. Other times, nothing really comes to it. And sometimes, you know, the homeless people, they're smelly, and they're disruptive, and they're aggressive, and they're annoying, and they make us feel uncomfortable and self-conscious, and then nothing good happens to us, and then we get a flat tire on the way home. And I think it's really important to remember that they're still the least of us. Jesus says that whatever you do to the least of my people, that you did unto me. And that's why Mother Teresa, she said that, like, when someone annoyed her or someone who was really needy came up to her, she said, "Oh, look, here comes Jesus in his annoying disguise." That's something to remember when the benefits aren't obvious.
Yeah, no kidding. I love that. Maggie, I know you wanted to jump in.
I just had a quick point. You know, regardless of how much money I have on me to give to someone, I like to look them in the eye and say, "Hey, how are you? And, you know, how are you doing? And gosh, it's hot out today." You know, like, just have a little conversation with them about their life. And if I do have something to give to them, I give it to them. And I make sure that there's that physical contact. And you look them in the eye and you say, "God bless you."
Wow.
Just make them, I think, even more than the money, the impact of having someone just treat them like a human. You know,
the other, and that's such a great point, Maggie, because so often, and John, you can speak to this too, we are very judgmental. I mean, people will walk on the other side of the road or they'll look at this person and you assume that they're there because of drug addiction or some other thing. But, you know, a lot of people are a paycheck away from being homeless. You know, there could be people who are living in their car or living on the street. Maybe they do have an addiction. You know, they're wounded. That's a disease. Or maybe they have mental illness, or maybe they have no family, or maybe tragedy bestruck them. I mean, we really have to have hearts, I believe, filled with charity and compassion for these people. Let God sort everything else out, right? So this is, in some respects, a great exercise in our own virtue, isn't it, John?
Yeah, exactly. And that's one thing I touch on in the article, is that, like, even if you don't give, even if you disagree with everything that I've said, you can still not give without just dehumanizing the person. Like, I remember there was a lady, and she was talking to me, and she said, like, she had her family in the car and she needed money, and it gave her a little bit of money. And then, like, there was some red flags about her story, and I thought, like, okay, maybe I'm on the hook. Like, so she was trying to get me to buy her a motel room, and like, okay, like, I wasn't sure about the situation, and it was more money that I could give. And so I just told her straight up, like, "I can't give it to you." And I think, like, all day, like, whether she was being honest or not, like, she's been having people, like, give lame excuses or just pretend they don't see her. But even to just have someone say no to them respectfully and directly, I think that's also a way to humanize them, too.
Yeah, I agree. It's a great way to show mercy. Anna is in Greenfield, Wisconsin. Hi, Anna.
Hi, Drew. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it. Thanks for calling.
This happened years ago, probably close to 12, maybe even 15 years ago. It was a Saturday night. The hubby and I had gone to church, gone to Mass. My dad was still with us, so it was before he passed. We were going to Boston Market to use our Saturday coupons, and there was a gentleman standing on the corner by Boston Market and had a sign, "Could use any help that you're willing to give." And I looked at my hubby, and he looked at me, and he's like, "Well, let's go in the parking lot first." So we pulled into the parking lot. "Dad, stay in the car. We can keep an eye on you. Don't go anywhere." And we went out, talked to this gentleman, and said, "We're heading over to Boston Market. Come join us. Let us buy you a meal." And he's like, "Are you serious?" And I said, "Yes, we're very serious." And he's like, "Well, that's very kind of you." And I said, "It's probably the least that we can do."
Wow.
So we met him over there, and he told us a little bit about himself, and his name was George. And I said, "Can
Anna, I think you're breaking up on me. I think we're losing our phones. So it might be on our end here. We only have a minute left, don't we, Maggie? I don't think I can take any more calls. John, I'm sorry, we're losing calls. A screen is emptying on us here for some reason. We must be having a technical issue with our phone screens. On line 11, Danielle from Northern Maine, I wish I could get her on. She suggested giving out gift cards as a good option. And I love that idea for this reason. You know, if you don't feel comfortable giving money, do what this last caller did or what Danielle's saying. Maybe invite somebody to lunch. Sit down with me. Have a cup of coffee. Or here, let me buy you a meal. That's another way to show charity and mercy, isn't it? I only have about a minute left. I'm going to give you the final thoughts.
Yeah, I think we got the gist of that last story. We can assume that, like, we can take such a judgmental stance toward homeless people and assume that they're, like, jaded and cynical and they're going to take advantage of us. But my experience is closer to the opposite. Yep. Like, I remember I bought a lemonade for one guy and he was practically jumping for joy. And he said, I'm going to pay this forward. And I said, like, I said to myself, like, I just bought this guy a lemonade. So, yeah, I just want to say, like, you never know. Yep. When you'll encounter Jesus, when you'll make a huge difference in someone's Amen. Life. And Jesus says, I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. Thirsty, you gave me something to drink. So it's just something for us to remember.
Amen. Hey, John, good luck in your call to serve the Lord. We'll be praying for you. I know you're a seminarian right now, and count on all of our prayers. Keep writing, okay? God bless
you. Thank
you
so much, Drew.
You got it.
God bless you.
It's John Brundage. I got to take a quick break. I'll be right back.